Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist and Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 265. I'm Josiah Sepp for the villain on Twitter at comic_syndicate on Instagram. What's up, guys? It's good to be back one more week, and I have a lot to go through and a lot of stories to tell you. So let's hit it, like we normally do. What we spoke about 100 episodes ago, episode 165, we entitled hashtag manipulators. At Mim the Beaner and at For the Villain, play catch up, then roll. What we spoke about 100 episodes ago, and give quick love to podcasts we're going to miss. Okay, so this had to have been one of the cool podcasts we were with or part of or just knew and would chat with all the time. I don't think it was the Comical Podcast Boys, Miguel and Justin on that one. I don't think it was the Nerd Nest Boys, which was Carl and Steve. That was back in the day. I think this one was honestly the Baked English Podcast. And just to jump back, yeah, this is going to be an interesting show because I'm going to completely let you guys in on a few things. Baked English Podcast, they had their own network. They had the Nerd Bong Network. So Nerd Bong Network. And they're located in London. For some reason, they caught a wind of Adam and I rather quickly, about 18-20 episodes up, and they reached out, and it's like, you guys are good. Would you guys mind, or how do you guys feel about jumping on a network? So to hang out, chill, and plug, and have be part of this family, this network, was really dope, and it was really cool. And then just branching off and like always working with them, collaborating with them. And these guys saw something in us, which was pretty dope, especially your 20 episodes in, and we are still trying to figure out what we're doing. So those guys were just great support, and we'd always support each other. That's what it should be. The community should be like that. So I'm pretty sure it was them. The cool thing, though, and funny thing is the Nerd Nest Boys back in the day, oh my gosh, Carl and Stevie were hilarious. Like, we would, as podcasts, they would make me legit laugh, and they would say the same thing about us. And we had this unique friendship where we almost tried to one-up each other. And it was a weird battle, but like a fun battle where it's like, all right, that was a good one, dude. So we're essentially either rap battling each other, or we were breakdancing battling each other. And it was just fun and cool to chat with these guys. So anyways, I miss the Nerd Nest Boys for sure, but the Nerd Bong crew, Dead Vinyl is back with G. They should be up soon, so I got to reach out to those guys just to send any support and love I can so you guys can get on board with them. All right, dude, we also hit NFL talk, football talk, week 11 predictions, then go to informative talk. So this is completely me. I always bring random stuff. Informative talk with 7 undeniable benefits of listening to music, and 8 telltale signs your partner is manipulating you. Then finally go into comic talk. Comic news, Warner Brothers exec says Wonder Woman will win over DC film doubters. Oh, you guys know how I feel about that movie. HBO renews Westworld for second season, Jurassic World 2 to begin filming in March. That was also not a good movie. Fox eyeing X-Men reboot. Doctor Strange takes box office week 2. Marvel confirms Michael Keaton as Spider-Man Homecoming's Vulture. And Marvel announces new Darth Maul, Electro Kingpin, and Bullseye number 1. So 100 episodes constitutes to 2 years ago. You guys have seen most of these things and have heard of most of these things. So that's pretty much what it is. We hit comic reviews, Amazing Spider-Man, Since Past, Trade Paperback, I believe, and Champions number 2. All right, guys, so many stories, so little time. Bullet points this week is pretty much just going to be press releases. Let me start there, first of all. The things I get and receive I've received a lot of cool stuff, like email, like PDF files and Netflix trailers and movie trailers and just a lot of cool stuff I get. Sorting through those is work. It's pretty rad, but I just don't have the time to do half of these things. Like legit filmmakers or even people that score films and movies, and they're asking, like, hey, would you like to do an interview or do you want to conduct this interview? A lot of them, especially for screenings for movies, which I would love to. They're normally in L.A. I live in Orange County, Southern Cali. And just a drive to L.A. to get to a movie screening at 4, possibly 5 o'clock when I have my office job is insane to pull off, like. And L.A. is just a twisted city anyways, traffic-wise, more than anything. Like, it's a cool city, but wow, it's everything out there. Anyways, but just the cool things I get, like, this week I got the Lego Batman Family Matters trailer, like, shit no one has seen yet prior to the film release. That was yesterday, by the way. And even the Dark Crystal Age of Resistance trailer is cool. So to get these first-hand things and like, can you please share this on your social media? Yes, I need to do that. And here's the kicker though. I need to find the time. Like, you guys should know that if you guys listen to the podcast, I'm constantly busy working on something, just doing something. So needing to find the time to do that. And here's an interesting theory, which leads me to next to bullet points, and this one is really interesting. Next bullet point is going to be strictly about collaborations. All right, so the day after dropping last week's episode 264, Night and Day, I believe, I got hit up on Instagram, and it definitely wasn't a bad hit up. I don't want to say anything bad because homeboy was cool. Now, got hit up on Instagram, another cat. Young cat, about my age, a little bit younger, but he hit me up and he also has a podcast. And his name is Justin Harden. He has two podcasts. The first one is going to be Harden in Marvel Podcast. So it's really, I first of all dig on the name of the title for the show because his last name is Harden and the way the podcast name is Hard in different words, separate words, Marvel. So Hard in Marvel Podcast. So you know what? It's a good emphasis on that. And I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool. And then he has Hard in the Paint. So those are his two podcasts. I got to listen to the Hard in the Paint because honestly, I haven't listened to that one yet. But I started deep diving his Hard in Marvel Podcast. Homeboy's good. And he's got a co-host, Devontae, I believe, who's normally the only person I've heard on there so far. But really cool that he reached out. And we start chatting on the side, and it's like, let me check you out. And I know it sounds weird, but like, I'm like, I'm going through his social media and like, okay, who is this cat? And he's kind of hitting me up randomly, and I post nothing but mainly pop culture stuff anyways. So little by little, we're chatting throughout the week. Like, since, again, the day after last week's drop, so Thursday, he hits me up, and we're just Instagramming, messaging each other on the side. And we tossed out some ideas, and he's like, how do you feel about working with other podcasts? I'm like, I used to do it all the time. Like, you know, we used to work with other podcasts, and several fears I had about it. Like, first of all, when I used to do it, it was a team, and I had Adam with me. And now I've been back for over a year. So honestly, a solo show back again is harder to do because I have so many plates and I'm juggling and chainsaws. I'm juggling constantly with the sound quality, with the audio quality, with the editing, everything. And then to still bring the content and juggling everything, my paperwork anyways, it might not sound, and I really want it to sound flawless, but I know there is only so much I can do. Now that's not the fear. You know, now I feel like I can do it. You know, like I have the passion, like I can fight, like I know what I can do. I know what I'm capable of doing, like I can juggle these chainsaws. Somebody throw me another fucking chainsaw. But anyways, the fear I had, honestly, is like we've dealt with podcasts in the past before where we're trying to help another podcast and they just wanted to suck up our audience, which is like, I don't care. You know, it's like get yourself out there and let's plug you. That's why we're working together. But like to totally like almost like turn your back or 86 us. And it's like, oh, dude, we hooked you up pretty good. And you guys are kind of, that's a shady thing to fucking do to someone. And that's not even the fear. Like I can easily put those pods on blast. But that's in the past. I'm good where I'm at right now. And it leads me to what happened last night. So I'm talking to Justin on the side for a good week. I mean, we're sweet talking to each other. You know, we're just talking and it's cool and messaging. And he's like, well, what does your schedule look like? And he gets it like he's like, okay, well, I get you're busy. Like you work a lot. Like and even just introduction is I work a lot. And he gets that. And ask him, well, what does your schedule normally look like? And he's got a family. He's got a young baby girl. And it's like, you know, it's a newborn. It's like, I get it. So he's been saying, like, he's been doing night shifts with her. It's like, and I'm like, I get the lack of sleep, dude. Like, I different thing, but I get it. I had some downtime. And Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays are my only downtime. And honestly, trust me, guys, it's not downtime. I'm constantly working. I'm constantly writing. I'm constantly reading. I'm constantly fucking working. So he hits me up and he's like, would you mind recording Tuesday? And this was on Monday. And I'm like, yeah, let's, you know what? Yeah, I do have off. Let's do it. I haven't recorded with someone in over a year and a half by now. So, and let alone be on someone else's podcast. I mean, the 2OC boys, the 2OC podcast crew, Alan and Anton, good guys, great guys, find them. But to try something new like this again. I don't want to say I was weary, but it was just like one of those like, well, homie, you know you're back. Why don't you just put it on the table and just run with the ball type of deal. So we hook up when I get home. He's based in Atlanta. And just I want to give you guys full background because this was really cool. I needed a little bit of time just to get, you know, my stuff organized here at the house once I got home. And hit him up, okay, I'm down, dude, like, how are you looking on your time or your sound? He's like, let's do it. I'm like, all right, give me five. I get set up, and I'm like, okay, cool, I think I'm looking good over here. And he had me on his show. And it was completely fun and funny. Like, I had a blast. And thank goodness, Justin, thank you, dude, for sending me the topic points you wanted to hit prior in the day, because it gave me time to like flesh out some ideas, like, okay, like I need to hit homeboy up and like, or these are the things that he wants to hit. It's his show. I'm always respectful about everyone's shows. It's their own show. And the guests you bring on, like, you always need to maintain control of your show and don't let somebody sabotage or hijack your show. And I've been on plenty of podcasts by now where it's like, I know how to, you know, just be respectful with other people's toys is what I'm saying. And homeboy couldn't have made me feel any more comfortable. We start shooting and maybe just one hiccup in the beginning with audio sound mics in the beginning. Besides that, we're ready to go. And all he had to do was edit because it was a solid, fluid conversation. And him leading the road and me just following. And it's like, you know what? Yeah, let's stop here. And let's, okay, yeah, let's chat about this. And it was a great conversation and I had fun. And just in saying all that, this is one of those things where it's something where that spark kind of clicks in, where it's like you meet a legit cool cat doing what you do with your passions that you guys love doing. And your passion for something, and people that grind it. And again, creative people and latching onto creative people. And it's like, we could have spoken for hours. Like, we could have legit spoken for hours. And even afterwards, we're still chatting. And even today, we're still chatting. Like, and just the news we hit. And I'm not going to go through everything we hit, but the thing is that he did send me topics we spoke about. Everyone is on the MCU train right now, do you ever see it eventually stopping and getting old? What's one IP that you would want to see in the MCU? And with Hickman's new run on the mutants in the Marvel Universe, there comes a time when the MCU is about to place them in a cinematic universe. And so these conversations, and he's the first one that sent me the link on news that happened yesterday that the whole world fandom is pissed off about. And in saying that, find Justin. First of all, on Twitter, he's at just N, the letter N, Marvel on Twitter. He's at Hard in Marvel Podcast on Instagram. And just find him and give him a listen. Now, when I say I don't have time, I found out today, Homeboy does his show, his podcast, in seasons. And I'm like, I never really thought to do a seasonal thing. So let's do the podcast for 9 months, 8 months, you know what, 10 months and take 2 months off. I always need to feel current, and not necessarily current, but also relevant. And the fact that Homeboy is able to find that structure for his show, I'm like, that's kind of cool. And that was that theory where I'm like, dude, okay, do I need to change it up? Listeners, let me know. Would you guys forget about me if I was gone for 2 months or possibly a month? I just had to have a breather for myself and just bank up a bunch of episodes for you guys and just drop them. I like being consistent week by week. So if you guys want, please let me know. Hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, and just more love to Justin. And thank you, homie. Like, I had a great time. And these small side conversations, man, like, if we were closer, man, like, I can see myself hanging out with you and just shooting comics and movie talk, dude. So much love, and you are definitely invited on the Comic Syndicate whenever I get the chance, whenever our schedules don't conflict again. I want you on the Audio Chronicles, because that one is strictly based on interviews, and I want to pick your brain, because what you do, your job alone, living in Atlanta, is pretty dope, and I think my listeners would appreciate it, and they would dig, dude. So again, guys, find him. He's dope. Justin Marvel, Hardin Marvel Podcast on anything. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts, find Homeboy. All right, man. Speaking of podcasts, the last thing I'm going to hit is podcasts I've listened to lately that I love the hell out of. I did go over Absolute Carnage last week. Donnie Cates, the writer of that comic book and Venom, and the artist is Ryan Stegman. They started their own podcast. They're about 5 episodes deep, and that one is called Stegman and His Amazing Friends. I've sent the link to a few of you guys, and the few people that I have sent it to, I hope you guys have listened to it, because the last one, they had Joe Quesada on. He's the CCO of Marvel Comics. Marvel Comics Legit. I grew up with this guy in a weird way, and his work. So to hear stories that anyone in any field can look at life was really beautiful to hear. And the whole fail, and even hearing Donnie Cates and him talk about, like, you know, be fearless, be relentless, like, attack what you love, and you gotta keep doing it. Don't ever let things, people, or anything discourage you, but you gotta have the drive to do it, the passion to follow whatever career path you want. Just go for it and attack it. So that was a beautiful one. Again, I hope you guys listened to that one. All right, give me a few. And we'll rock out some comic news.
2, 1. What's up, guys? This is Sholo Maridueña, Miguel Diaz from Cobra Kai.
This is Jacob Bertrand. I play Hawk. And you're listening to the Comic Syndicate. Woo!
All right, let's hit some comic news now. TV movies, RoboCop Returns. Director Neil Blomkamp announces exit from film. I was kind of curious to see where that was going to go, but due to a scheduling conflict, he's not going to be working on it anymore. That's not to say they're not going to do it, but the original writers behind the original movie, Ed Neumeier and Michael Miner, are still on board. Resident Evil reboot in active development, and it's going to be closer to the game. How do you guys feel about that? Very curious. I was a fan of the games, and to see the movies and Mila Jovovich, and part one was okay, but it was not they had sprinkles of the game element, but they completely changed everything. I don't know how I feel about it. Go back to the game, I guess. Matrix number 4, or part 4, confirmed with Reeves, Moss, and Lana Wachowski is also returning. Who is the writer-director. Everyone's back on board on this one. It's also one of those franchises where I'm kind of over as well. I think I like part one, and it just kind of fell apart, in my opinion, after that. Next one is going to be Robert Rodriguez's Netflix superhero movie unveils its cast. We Can Be Heroes, the upcoming superhero film from director Robert Rodriguez, has assembled its cast. The cast includes Christian Slater, Yahya Gosselin, Akira Akbar, Pedro Pascal as well, and homeboy has been working like more on kids-based movies because he has a wide range of movies, but I'm kind of curious about this one. And again, we spoke about something really cool on the Hardened Marvel podcast. I'll let you guys know when that drops. Next one is going to be Kevin Smith's How Many Masters of the Universe sequel series for Netflix. That one was announced last week at I did not know this con was, this convention was in Anaheim and literally across the street from me. I heard that and I'm like, oh geez, like how tiny was this place? It was like a ballroom in the Hilton or something like that. And I'm like, well, that's literally across the street from me, and how did I not know about this one? Anyways, let me continue. Sci-Fi cancels Superman prequel, Krypton, after 2 seasons. All right, what else do we got? We got a few more DC things. Lobo, Sci-Fi passes on Krypton spinoff. Well, yeah, if you're going to cancel their main show, why would you continue forward with a spinoff? I haven't seen those. I don't watch a lot of TV. You guys should know that. Next one's going to be some Marvel talk. Is going to be, let's see. Guardians of the Galaxy 3 script is likely to receive another pass. According to Sean Gunn, James Gunn's brother, the script for Guardians of the Galaxy Vol. 3 may receive another rewrite from James Gunn. Well, I think a lot of their movies now are going to have to get a few rewrites or a lot of rewrites because, wow, we're going to hit that one soon. Ewan McGregor reportedly in talks to return as Obi-Wan for Disney+. It's just a rumor, but if they're in talks, that would be kind of cool to see Ewan McGregor back as Obi-Wan. All right, the worst news we've received this week is honestly going to be the news that came out yesterday. Spider-Man Far From Home will receive an extended theatrical cut. So it's coming back with 4 more minutes of footage. After that, all it took for Sony to get its biggest movie was to get Marvel's help. Spider-Man Far From Home is now Sony's highest grossing film of all time. And it's most likely thanks to Marvel. The news, again, if I haven't spoiled it, if you guys have followed my social media, at For The Villain on Twitter, at Comic Syndicate 1 on Twitter, the CS Bell is somewhere, and at Comic_Syndicate on Instagram. Sony kills Spider-Man partnership deal with Marvel Studios. Studios will not produce any future Spider-Man films due to a standoff between the Walt Disney Company and Sony Pictures. It seems Disney asked for all future Spider-Man projects to be a 50-50 co-financing agreement between Marvel and Sony, but the latter declined. Instead, Sony proposed leaving the current deal untouched, meaning Marvel would continue to receive approximately 5% of its first dollar gross while maintaining merchandising rights, which Disney refused. This, of course, comes hot on the heels of Spider-Man Far From Home, cementing itself as Sony's highest grossing film of all time. All right, Justin and I on his podcast, we were talking a lot of the intricacies that could happen and where this could possibly go without giving my full thoughts, ideas that I had, because, you know, I don't want to steal that thunder, but Venom was not a good movie. Morbius is the living vampire, and Jared Leto is going to be Morbius, and I love Morbius. But in saying that, I love Venom. I love Eddie Brock. I love the symbiote. I love Eddie Brock and the symbiote together, Venom. Wow, that was not a good movie. It was not a good movie, and that Sony thinks now, like, we think we know how to make a movie. It is funny. It's just really sad that the Marvel Cinematic Universe now is going to be missing a big, huge character that's essentially needed for the most part. And that Sony is... is greedy to the point where, you know what? Now you made us $1 billion. We're not happy with that. We can make ourselves. And okay, look, the creativity behind the GIFs, the memes, everything from everyone has been sad and funny. And it's fucked up, but it's so fucking true. Like, Eric, thank you, homie. Like, no, everyone. Like, once the news dropped, even people that aren't necessarily into comics, everyone's sending me like, have you heard about this? Have you heard about this? And honestly, Justin was the first person to send me something about it. So I'm like, oh, geez. And I was busy at the office, but once I caught it, again, little by little, everyone's trickling in. And it's a really fucked up thing. If I don't get it. Like, I do. But like I said earlier, like, don't be fucking greedy. Don't fuck people over. Like, you know, don't fuck over other podcasts. Like, don't do that. Don't try to steal people's audience. Like, yeah, they're collaborate, work together, because good shit can happen. And I don't know. I don't know. I mean, Justin had some great points. I don't see. And actually, the director, Watts, said he's off today on Twitter. Like, no, I didn't sign on for this. Tom Holland, honestly, I kind of want him to jump off ship too. Now, he seems like a good young kid and he loves playing Spider-Man. I just don't know if he's going to want to, or if he's going to love the experience playing Spider-Man in the Sony version of, we know how to make a movie now. The future is hazy. Like, I don't know what to say. So, yeah, we all want Spider-Man back. We know there's nothing that can happen. Unless it's a miraculous thing that happens, and I don't see that happening anytime soon. Let me know how you guys feel about that, please, for sure. Sorry, don't mind me. This was going to be a long show. I kind of had a feeling. Let's hit some comic reviews, guys. Powers of X, number one. So I reviewed House of X about 2 weeks ago. This is Powers of X. This is Jonathan Hickman's baby for his X-Men run, setting up pieces that are going to be happening in the next future of the X-Men franchise, comic book-wise, Marvel Comics. R.B. Silva is the artist, and Aparo Del Benino is the inker. No, Adriano, sorry. Starts off the Jonathan Hickman way. Here's the thing, Charles. It's not a dream if it's real. More McTaggart. Again, this is Powers of X. These are two separate concurring titles at the same time. And it's just separate stories, but it leads to a giant story. X-Men Year One, The Dream, The X-Men, Year 10. It shows, The Dream, Professor X, The X-Men, Year 10. It shows the world as we get two panels of Professor X now. And we see The X-Men Year 100, The War, X-Men, Year 1000, Ascension. As it jumps back now to Year One, and you're seeing as these panels go on, like, this is what's happening with the X-Men. This is what's happening with their world. Excuse me. We're young now. Xavier is at a fair meeting a young Moira McTaggart. As the back and forth between these two characters is vague, but she drops, finally, that they know each other. After explaining why he's so happy just sitting by himself in this park now, as she asks him to read her mind. And then it jumps now, future panel, jumps to Year 10, Krakoa, where Mystique and Toad arrive with a thumb drive at the House of M. They show up as we get several odd interactions. So Mystique and Magneto from House of X that I did review show up to Magneto. Here's the thumb drive as now Professor X walks in. And just that conversation they have, it's like Professor X, is like, okay, cool. You did a great job. You got us the thumb drive we need. And Mystique's like, nah, I'm using this as a bargaining chip. I want more of we don't know what. Magneto is the one that's hesitant, and Professor X is like, no, you're right. Like, okay, take what you want, and you're good. We're good here. You got what we needed. So again, odd interactions. Now it jumps to Year 100, the Northern Territory of the Nexus, where a group is coming across dying mutants. And just scavenging these bodies, where we see this is the world the X-Men always feared. We see a bunch of dead bodies, and you can tell they're mutants. And it's, again, into the future, where now it's coming to fruition, like, shit, this is everything we didn't want. And we see these X-Men from 100 years in the future now. And the way Jonathan Hickman is writing it is so dope, because these are going to be probably the mutants your kids are going to be reading about. It depends on how it wraps up or where he wants to go. But this is the world they always feared 100 years from now. Where we see this world is just terrible. And this girl named Cleobel is captured. As we see, she's trying to protect her friends. One of them is named Rasputin and the other is named Cardinal. As Rasputin goes to work after a quick debate with Cardinal. Cardinal, these characters are interesting. She has a soul sword, Rasputin, and she has Colossus's skin. And Rasputin is Ileana Rasputin magic and Pietro Rasputin Colossus. So as we see her go to work, trying to help her friend, holding up as long as she can until there's nothing else she can do. And they get taken out. Next page is a description of the Sinister Line, and this is a mutant breeding program, where it's brief but crazy heavy in information, especially the way Jonathan Hickman has these diagrams ready for you to just figure out what's going on. And it talks about these Chimera programs, or protocols, and the first, second, third, and fourth generations of these creations, and how, in a sort of way, these creations, Generation 1 compared to Generation 2, they keep losing their way, which they were bred, honestly. Okay, I'll explain that in a bit. It jumps then from Cleobel now and Nimrod. So the young girl was captured, and Nimrod is a huge X-Men sentinel being AI that I was created to eradicate mutants. I'm going to eradicate every mutant, and that's, again, the fall of the X-Men in Days of the Future Past. So great to see this as they now put her through the ringer just to try to get information from Homegirl. And then it jumps now to the Kennel. The Kennel is something different. It's a sentinel mutant breeding camps, which essentially is, it's producing these things called hounds, and that is even terrifying in itself because it's mutants, hunting their own kind. But that even these creations also had their side effects as well as, you know, you see some of them gain some humanity. Like, why did you create me to kill my own kind? And it's just interesting. Jumps now to the next place, the hub, where Cardinal and Rasputin are now at, where they arrive. And again, 100 years into the future, like I said. And they get greeted by the leaders of this crew of mutants now. We see Wolverine, an old Wolverine, in his old school suit, Magneto wearing green, though, this time. And where Wolverine asks if the deaths were worth it. Like, you guys made it back. We know a lot of our friends died, but was it worth it? We're working for something here. Like, and it's just a simple question. So if he's in charge of the X-Men now. As next page is a breakdown of the surviving mutants and how there's a less than 10,000 population of mutants and transplants, or look at them as this way, refugees in an odd way. There's only 10,000 of you left and they're trying to find refuge because they're getting hunted. Pay attention to the world, guys, as we learn that there are two colonies in space, refugees, the one is given a refuge by the Shi'ar Empire, and the other one is called Benevolence, where 8,000 mutants are held there, but these guys are getting bred for war. We don't know what type of war, but it's like, if you're the last line of defense, you guys are in outer space, you guys can still breed eventually, which is fucked up. I mean, it's just a weird story. It is fucked up. Jumps now to the X-Men, year 1000, with the librarian of sorts now looking like she wants to help and do more, but knowing that the culture, the race, the religion, the being, the thoughts, that the mutants are now lost forever. Like, it's they're extinct now. And she's going through their archives of history, and she feels bad. Like, they were always doomed to fail. Is a fucked up story, and that's what I get out of it, and it's beautiful writing by Jonathan Hickman, but I love it, and it ends with just a simple page. You've forgotten that machines have no soul, and that humans lost theirs a long time ago. Signed, Rasputin. So that was a good first issue of Powers of X. I wanted to review several things for you guys, and I'm just going to take you on a journey real quick. This one should take no more than 10 minutes, but I'm a talker, guys. This one is going to be now House of X, number 2. Jonathan Hickman's the writer. Pepe Larraz is, again, is the artist, and Marte Garcia is the inker. If you can find it in you to survive, if you are worthy, then I will make you into something more than them. Something eternal. Signed, Apocalypse. This one starts off with a young Moira MacTaggert and what she went through as a child, falling ill one day. And she's a young kid, and she's so sick she's about to die. One day, miraculously, though, she's healed. Work goes into her life now. And even though she was so close to dying, she does end up living her life, becoming a teacher, becoming a woman, starting a family, getting married, having a family, having grandchildren, then eventually passing away at 74. Wart then quickly jumps into her second life, in utero, and explain that. The page is literally her in utero. Her as a fetus. And every memory she had from her previous life, she has now. And her second life starts, and it sounds odd, where it goes into how it was something new at the time to everyone, that the whole just being a mutant thing. So little by little, as she's living her second life now, she knows, like, I'm different. Something's wrong with me. So needing to conceal this, she goes into academia. She starts studying psychology, biology, then learning and finding out she could either choose to become a passive or active participant. So she can either live the same life she did or use every memory she's had and live a new life and keep on coming back but altering your decisions. Like, my life one was happy. Would you guys live that way or would you guys change things knowing what life you can have? I think I would go the latter for some reason. I don't know if that's fucked up for me, but I mean, it's a fucked up thing. That's why I wanted to pose the question to you guys. As she finally comes across a man on television that she knows she must meet after this man utters this new word that's never been mentioned, a mutant. So she goes, rushes to meet him in her second life. Yeah, it's Professor X. She's like, I need to meet this guy. I'm going to fly over to the States. And as she's flying over, her plane crashes. And where this starts her third life, able to pursue Xavier now, but not liking him as she goes now to, like, the sciences now. And she feels being a mutant is a sort of cancer. And she goes about her life now wanting to cure the world of it. She knows she's different and she doesn't like it, her third life out, and she's over it. And she succeeds though in finding this cure, where now she's unable to use it of what happens next. There's a scene with Destiny and Mystique, and there's an encounter where they figure out and tell her what she is. Like, you're an anomaly. Like, I keep seeing you in timelines, but you keep messing things up. And this is a fucked up message to her, because they're telling her, like, you have the power of reincarnation. Telling her that she's betraying her kind right now, which essentially she is. She came up with this cure from being a mutant. And just because you're different, and people don't like different, like, that's kind of fucked up. Again, how would you guys feel about that? You can look at it in any way. I'm too short. I'm too small. I'm too fat. I'm not smart enough. I'm not funny enough. Those things that make us different as people. My religion, I'm a different religion. Like, that's not something that you need a cure, you know? So, yeah, just beautiful. Always love these characters. So they tell her, change or die. Even telling her, like, how many times, and Destiny is telling her, how many lives she has left, roughly 10 or 11 years, where she's told told once more time very violently. as Pyro comes out, and it's really fucked up. She's like, Destiny tells Pyro, and that's what his name is, and that's his mute ability. Burn her. And slowly, so she doesn't forget how dying like this feels. As she now starts her fourth life, mutant and human dilemma. Two aggressive species, adapting or dominance, or adaptation or dominance. Now giving Xavier a second chance this time. But this time, she falls in love with him. And his ideals this time around, wanting him talking about wanting a place for his people, his dream that he always wanted. Humans and mutants can live in peace. As she stays by his side now. Through each year, the gifted, the original five, the time of hate and fear, through the lost decade, which is the Phoenix Five. And it just shows beautiful pages. And then the Phoenix Five is the death of Xavier. And it goes into a certain page where it's honestly the days of the future past, where everything is everything. So she throws it all. She sees it all. Starting her fifth life, she eventually dies in that one, where she now runs away from home at the age of 13, starting and trying to find Xavier even 10 years earlier, showing him what's happened before, looking for a new alternative. But in doing that, completely changing his full dream, or his dream in a weird way, now building a city for mutants, till the Sentinels come once again and tear them apart. And where we see each mutant once again and them dying. It starts off her sixth life, now as an assassin, completely wiping out and assassinating the Trask bloodline with no remorse at all. So Bolivar, Donald Trask, Gwyneth, Simon, along with their children as well. But realizing now that it wasn't about them, it was about the Sentinels. Realizing they're always going to be created by another monster that just hates us. They're going to eradicate us regardless. And that's what is fucked up about it. And that's exactly what it is. It's going to be inevitable regardless. Now completely changing her thoughts and her ideas, her processes, and even her life once again. Starting her eighth life now by embracing now the necessary evil and going towards Eric Lenscher for help. Magneto, where she tells him many stories of the future, unavoidable Holocaust that are going to happen regardless, time in, time out, where he just loses it. And he's like, his feeling is always, I've gone through this once before. My people were persecuted. I'm not going to let this happen. That's why he's such a beautiful villain, because he's not fucking wrong. And he loses it. He goes to work, but fails because all the heroes are shown combined against his ideals. Fantastic Four, the Avengers, the X-Men, Spider-Man are there to stop Magneto, and they do. They kill him. So now fearing she has little time or lives left, fewer deaths now, she goes the route of the survival of the fittest. And if the humans wanted war, if their machines did, then they would give them one without an end, and she goes and finds Apocalypse, and those are his ideals. So they have all these characters working together in a weird way, and it's the way she's interacting with every character is interesting. Once again, knowing and learning the same thing, after all the lives lost, after the end of all the wars, armed with the knowledge that all the old ways and all the old ways of thinking would never be enough to save her people. She decided to try something truly revolutionary. And Moore's 10th life, she decided she and Charles Xavier would break all the rules. As we see her eyes on her open now, looking pissed as a baby. Like, this is her 10th life now. And she's like, oh, it's time to go to fucking work. She's living all these lives. She's changing the X-Men. Jonathan Hickman is changing the X-Men. It's just really cool. I don't know. Moira MacTaggert died in the comics, so to have her back and to see what Jonathan Hickman is going to do with it and where it's leading, the path of X-Men, and it's those are characters people need in the world and today's society right now to read about, because it's always been about racism, bigotry, hatred towards these characters because you are different. And you know what? Sometimes fuck the world. Because you know what? Fuck the world, because it's okay to be fucking different. I love these guys. All right, guys, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. Subscribe. Please share the podcast more than anything. You guys are always rad. Please follow Justin and the Harden Marvel podcast. Please find my boys at the 2OC podcast, Alan and Anton. And I will catch you guys next week. Hopefully, you guys enjoyed that trip, that journey. Catch you guys next week again. Peace out.